Rainmaker FM.
3, 2.
And now, for members only, I'm your host, Sean Jackson. Just do it. What a great marketing phrase, isn't it? Encapsulating those three words is the implication that anything you want to accomplish is truly just a matter of starting. Of course, we all know there's a lot more to it than just that. You see, before you can actually do anything, you first have to overcome the biggest barrier to success you face in your life. You. Starting any endeavor in life requires you to make a commitment, or at least a choice. Do you stay with the status quo, or do you make a change? And change is scary. No matter what anyone tells you, making a change will impact your life, in some way small or significant. And that choice to change will absolutely break the status quo. Now, when you're younger, change is a lot easier because your whole life is changing, almost on a daily basis. But what happens when you get older? Change becomes much more problematic. Your status quo is filled with commitments to your family, your career, your reputation. And changing any of those commitments can be terrifying, given how much time went into you creating them in the first place. And that is really the heart of the matter, isn't it? Fear. Fear of failure. Fear of rejection. Fear of changing the elements of your life you have worked so hard to create. But if you are to grow, if you are to break free of the status quo, then you will need to just do it. That doesn't mean you have to throw caution to the wind and make radical alterations to your life, but it does mean you have to make some effort, at least initially, to overcome those fears. And don't worry, you will have many failures initially, and that is okay. Each step builds towards the next, and over time, you become smarter and wiser as you make your journey towards a new status quo. Today's guest has been active in online memberships since before the dawn of the web. She has made those gut-wrenching decisions to move forward when at times it appeared that failure was more imminent than any form of success. But she kept going, turning her failures into wisdom and becoming one of the most respected online marketers in the industry. In this episode of Members Only, we interview Sonia Simone, co-founder of Rainmaker Digital and chief content officer of the company. Sonia traces us back through her long history of online engagements and reveals tangible insights into how you can start building an online membership site today. Will it be easy? No. But the rewards are potentially there for those that just shut the f*** and do it. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back from the break, everyone. I'm your host, Sean Jackson, and I'm joined, as always, by the indispensable Jessica Frick. Jessica, how the frick are you today?
I am great, Sean. How the Jackson are you?
Well, I have to tell you, one of my favorite people in the world is going to be on the show today, and I love talking to her, and especially given the fact that she has so much more experience, I feel so much smarter after she talks. So I want you to jump in and introduce our guest today, because I'm so happy that she's here, and more importantly, that I get to talk to her in depth about a subject I care about. So Jess, please introduce our guest.
Well, the lovely Sonia Simone hardly needs an introduction, but I guess I'm doing it anyway. Sonia is a founding partner of Rainmaker Digital, and she serves as our company's chief content officer. She has a long background in traditional marketing, both with startups and corporate environments. And most interestingly, where it regards what we're talking about today, Sonia is a vet of social media. She's been doing this since 89. She oversees the Copy Blogger blog, a number of our communities, and she hosts two podcasts because one is not enough. And I just am so excited to hear what she has to say to us today about membership communities.
Sonia, welcome to the show.
Well, it's awesome to be here. Thank you guys for inviting me. I feel so welcome.
So let's just, I want to give a little glimpse into where you are right now for our audience. Where are you located, Miss Sonia?
Right at this particular time of my life. I live in Rome, Italy. So if you hear church bells, it's because I can't keep them out of my recordings.
Truly an international podcast with someone from Rome. I think you're the first person we've ever had from Rome on the show. So, Sonia, you know, I want to tell a little story because when we first met, actually it was in Denver about, 6 years ago. And I remember I had been a fan of your writing on Copyblogger and had always you reach both the heart and the head at the same time. And so I was so excited to meet you and get a chance to talk to you. And in our discussion, it turned out that we had something quasi in common, which was that many years ago, you had been participating in bulletin board systems, just like I had. And specifically, you were in one of the, I would say the first underground one, but that's not really true. It was one of the really cool ones back in the late 80s and then early 90s. So tell our audience a little bit of your history in membership communities all the way back then.
Yeah, October 1989, right after the San Francisco earthquake, I joined a system called the WELL, which stands for Whole Earth Electronic Link. How awesome is that? That's so cheesy. But the WELL was a weird little side project started by Stuart Brand, the person who said that information wants to be free, and then said literally less than a minute later, information wants to be expensive, which nobody ever remembers. But it was this community, was pre-visual web. So it was text on a screen. You paid by the minute. It got really expensive if you were addicted, which everybody was. And it was this. The funny thing is, I got online in 1989, and it's 2016, almost 2017. And honestly, there's so few things that have really changed about social media. I mean, it's much easier to share images. That's like the big one. You know,
yeah.
There's more video now. It's so similar, unlike we used to call it virtual community back in the day, it's so similar to what it was then. You have the same problems, you have the same challenges, you have the same strengths. It's very, very similar in so many ways to what it was then. So yeah, I've been online for a lot of time, but it's interesting the things that haven't changed.
Sure, sure. And certainly when you came to Copyblogger, right? Because you were a fan of Copyblogger just like I was. You had been reading the site, and then they launched this thing called Teaching Cells, and you bought it. And so from that experience, you went further into the community, and it was really through that initial purchase into that membership community that really started you on a whole different path. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I wrote a little bit about this on the Copyblogger blog. It's on the November 29th post. So it'll be a couple of weeks past from when this dates. I had a traditional corporate job. It was actually a content marketing job. It was not called that at the time. I was an avid fan of Copyblogger. I was that person when you do a launch who like breaks your server because I'm refreshing the order page every 15 seconds, you know, to try and jump in. Went through Teaching Cells, got a tremendous amount out of it, although it was a little while before I put it all together for various reasons. But yeah, the true first online business that I created was a membership community. It was an educational community. We had, I don't even remember, I think I did maybe weekly content with a forum. There was a very tight community element to it. And it was a great business. I'm still friends with a lot of the people who were customers in that community. And it was a truly a transformational experience to create that business and be part of it.
So let's go in, because I'm sure a lot of listeners now are maybe back in their mind saying, this is going to be so hard, or it's going to fail, or I can't succeed at this. And so maybe they're sitting there thinking of every excuse in the world not to do it. And at some point you probably were there as well, but then you just went ahead and did it. So let's go through a scenario where someone is is really thinking about setting up a membership site, and certainly for the commercial aspect to it, right? That they're going to use it to generate money. They may not know how, but that eventually will be a part of it. So let's kind of walk through those initial steps based on your vast experience on kind of the first things to do, first things that you should be thinking about. And then how do you get through that point when you do all this work and you go, oh my God, is anyone here? So let's go through the very beginning steps.
Yeah, it's very much the same for launching any kind of digital product, but an online, a membership community, you really do kind of want, if the community is going to be an element of it, you have to have a certain critical mass. Now, not every membership site, you know, defines itself as a community. That's totally cool as well. You can just have a private library experience where people are not necessarily hanging out together. There's so many ways to put it together. But basically, you know, you need an audience, and you need a way to talk to them. Now, it doesn't have to be your audience. You know, it could be, you could partner with somebody who has a blog, who has a lot of readers, but they don't feel like messing around with the business angle. So it's not necessarily your own audience, but you need somebody to talk to who's going to resonate with what you have to say. You need a way to reach them, which means you need a list, and you need something to talk about, you know, something you can help with that's a problem that is meaningful to them. And then you need to pull it together into the form of an offer. And so it has to be something that you can exchange for money.
All right, let's go through that, because you just said a whole bunch of important things and I want to break it down just a little bit. First off, the audience. And it's funny because this whole company was started on the premise of let us build an audience online first and then we'll sell them what they want to buy, right? Unlike most people who want to sell them something and find an audience, right? Yep, so exactly. Let's go through the audience building portion, because you said two things, but one of which I really believe is almost like an adrenaline rush when it happens, is that, look, either you're going to be building an audience, maybe on a Facebook page, maybe on your own site, preferably, but you're going to be building an audience first, and that's got to be your focus. But maybe that's not where your strength is. You know, you can communicate with people, but you don't necessarily want to go through and do all that heavy lifting, which is heavy lifting. Partnering, though, that really just struck me, because that's how I came to Brian Clark, the CEO of the company, is that I said, look, I have something, you have an audience, let's partner together. So I love this idea of reaching out to someone saying, look, you have an active audience, why don't we work together and I'll help run a community for you, right? That's one possibility of just kind of jumpstarting into the process.
Oh, yeah, because there are so many people out there who have great audiences that love them, and they have absolutely no, they don't have any business skills, and they don't want to develop business skills. And the wonderful thing about business is, if you want to become skilled at business, you can. You know, it's not like brain surgery. It's not like, you know, NBA level playing basketball. I mean, if you're interested in business, you can learn business, but not everybody is. There's tons of people out there who have great audiences, great relationships with those audiences. They really don't want to mess with the business thing. If you can show up and say, I will structure it. I will help you put the curriculum together. I will manage the community. I will get the software all set up. All you have to do is show up and be wonderful. And we'll figure out exactly what that looks like. That is so appealing. So, now, is the very first person you approach going to say yes? I don't know. But if you approach a couple of people with great audiences with that, one of them will say yes, because it's a great offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it absolutely is. And I think you're 100% right on that. It is a great way to jumpstart the experience, especially if you're not comfortable building your audience. But of course, now maybe you do have an audience, though, right? And this could be the next level. Maybe you are actively posting out there into the online space. You're finding people who you have a common thread with. And I think the idea that you said earlier about community, you know, I would argue that for any membership site to be successful, you have to have a community. Okay, of some level, right? Whether you're actively engaged with them or not, you're going to have a common cause with a group of people, and that the site and the membership site in particular reflects that. And that, I think, is kind of the beginning portions of it, right? Is to find those common connections, both in acquiring your own audience or going through and partnering with someone and finding that common thread. So let's say I do that. Boy, it's so easy in the hypothetical world. I could just make all this happen. So let's go ahead and say that I've done that. I found a very popular blogger out there who has no membership system. I make a deal with them, or I've come up and I've taken my Facebook audience and I'm going to push them to my own membership site, preferably using Rainmaker, of course. Let's say we make that happen. And you start putting it together. What do you start putting together should be the first question.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, so if you haven't done this step yet, you have to do it, especially if your community is on Facebook. Now, I think Facebook is cool and Facebook does a lot of things well, but anybody who's got a community of any size on Facebook knows that your organic reach is very volatile. You know, you don't know what it's going to be. It's not up to you. So you have to get people onto an email list so you can talk to them when and how you need to reach them. So that's, you know, that step has to be in there. I know people who put people into programs or offers from Facebook, but it is just freaking hard. It's so much easier to get them onto an email list. You know, yeah, then from there, I mean, I'm a real advocate of when you're starting out, try and do something small. So instead of doing maybe necessarily like a full-blown, you know, something like we have an authority where we have new content almost every week of the year and we have all these Q&As and we have, that's a lot. You know, that's a lot to commit to. You can create a membership product. Maybe it's a workshop that's four weekly sessions. You don't have to create something that goes on forever. And I think a lot of people don't realize that. They think, oh, you know, if I'm going to create a membership site, then I'm done. Like that's what I'm doing every week for the rest of my life. It does not have to be that way. You can create fixed, defined projects, start small, see how they go. And typically you'll launch, you know, typically you'll kind of launch a few things and they'll kind of go along okay. And then you get one and it's a home run. And sometimes it's really not the one you thought it was going to be. And that might be the one that you would grow. That might be the one that you would scale. But you don't need to start with this idea of having, you know, a massive 8-month class or something like that. And in fact, you probably shouldn't. It's just wiser on every level to start small.
Right. And I think that's something, again, that too many people feel, oh, that it's going to be so overwhelming because they have all these great ideas and they want to execute on all these ideas, as opposed to just start small and let the audience tell you what they like. Right. Because that's the other thing about a membership site that is fairly unique, I think, versus a blog site. Right. Because a blog site can tell you generally what content is resonating. Right. And it may be the pretty cat picture. Right. You know, yes, and everybody comes to Pinterest and goes, oh, I love the cat picture. But that's not the same as a membership site where there is a level of engagement beyond just a blog site leaving a comment. Right. They are actively doing something else that is not the same as just reading and potentially liking or posting, et cetera. And that information is what can help guide you to the thing that your audience finds most valuable. Would you say that's an accurate idea?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and there's an argument to be made for putting a membership site in place, even if you don't make any money off of it, just for the market intelligence. Mm-hmm. I mean, it would be better to make money with it, but, you learn things when you are in community with people, especially if you have some kind of predictable way of collecting their problems. I mean, I love Q&A sessions for any kind of membership site, even if you don't have a ton of action in the forums or whatever. Q&As are wonderful, wonderful tools to find out what's bugging people. Where are they stuck? Where do they need help? And those are all total gold mines for product ideas, content ideas, business ideas.
Oh man, that is just that one piece of information right there, Jess. That right there, just using a QA, just set up a membership site that's nothing more than a QA, right? Where you have sort of common QA thing. That to me because then you're right, all the ideas will come to you from your audience and then you can start to extrapolate and build on them, and they're the ones who are helping guide you towards the path to be towards. I love that. Okay. So Sonia, let's go through this. All right. So I've done this. I've taken the leap. I put my Rainmaker site up. I've taken an audience, whether partnering or creating my own. I'm starting to drive, you know, some people there, but it's not going to be a lot, but I'm going to drive some people there. But there's a feeling, I think, that everyone who runs any type of membership system feels, usually about the day after they do all this hard work, is anyone here? I see there's traffic. I see that there's people coming, but it feels like an echo chamber. And I want to talk about that because there's so much that you put in, even if you're just doing small, tiny steps, it's still an energy and effort. How do you combat that feeling right after all that work where like, am I in an echo chamber? Have I just done all this work and it's not worth it because the only person here is my mother?
It's, you know, it's an interesting situation. And because we have social now, because we have Facebook now, you know, that's where people's social online energy tends to go. So it's trickier. This is a trickier thing than it used to be in terms of really getting community interaction happening. And I think you have to, you know, you have to get a little creative. You can have, for example, a Q&A kind of sessions, or hot seats are great sessions where you get into somebody's issue and you coach them, you do a little coaching session, they explain the problem, and then you explore the solutions with them. So creating events, content events that invite participation. It is, I think, important with a membership site, if community will be an element, do not launch it when your list has like 100 people on it. You know, you need enough people in the community to, and actually I'll tell you something funny after I finish this thought, but you need enough people in the community to get some mojo, some community mojo, because most people, it's very, very consistent that no more than 10% of your community will ever participate publicly. And if your community is large, the number is usually smaller than that. So people think, okay, well, I signed up 200 people, so I should have conversations with 200 people in them. And you've got like 15 people talking. Well, that's, you're doing just fine. You know? So people need to know that. One of my first jobs online was a company called 101 Online. The French telecom company called Minitel, they had these little electronic yellow pages that were in people's houses. And so being France, people would use them to like flirt with each other. And they tried to bring this to the United States. So they had these little cute little computer things that they would give you the box and you would log onto the box and be part of this online community. It was a really weird little experiment, failed miserably in the US. But my job was to log in as like 8 different people and have conversations with myself so that it looked like there was somebody there, because it was, you know, there was no traction at all. Right. So yes, not having enough people to keep conversations going is a thing. And you have to, I think the important thing is you have to be aware that that could happen and have a strategy around it, whether it's, you know, having a community manager that's really, really helpful is maybe you're the community manager, but having somebody in those early days to really nurture the conversations, help people feel heard, make sure that they know they're welcome so that when they do come in and participate, they get rewarded for that. You have to have a strategy. It's probably not just going to happen all by itself. You're going to have to really think about how you're going to nurture engagement in your community.
So let's go through that, because I think there are a couple of ways, though, to help defeat the echo chamber. And let me give you my thoughts. First off, I think you really have to have a passion about the subject matter. Okay, because I believe personally, both in the online world and in the offline world, passion and is something that resonates with people, right? In the sense that this person is passionate about it. I'm interested in this. They're obviously passionate about it. I think to stand out, you do have to be a little bit passionate about it, that you're always there, that you're always maybe not shouting from the rooftops per se, but at least that you're showing that you care about the subject matter and you're willing to put yourself out there for it. The second aspect is, and I've seen this with membership sites that I've had, is that there's going to be one or two people that are just going to get it. I think you're right. The vast majority were competing for time and attention. They have their life. They came in, they come out, because that's what the technology enables, is that, you know, the almost that drive-by shooting of interaction. But there are going to be a few that really get it. And I think latching onto those people, making them feel special by including them in moderation, just in talking to one or two people, right, could be the foundation from which you grow something that is much bigger. So your passion combined with talking to people who share in that similar interest and are inspired by your passion, and engaging with them and saying, you know what, I just need one person to raise their hand and say, yes, I'm interested. And through that online conversation, I think people, you're right, will be passive participants, but then a few will jump in because they're going to say these are like-minded people. So it's really funny because a movement is started by one person that finds someone else that is willing to go on that journey with them. And from there, they build great empires together, be they large or small. Would you say that's pretty accurate?
Oh, yeah. I mean, have you seen Derek Sievers' TED talk about that?
No.
That the difference between a leader and a lone nut is one follower. It's great talk. It's really great, great talk. So yeah, no, absolutely. And that's, you know, the foundation of absolutely all online communities and probably most offline communities is some people are wired for community and they love it and they keep the community alive, and you want to find those people, and they will... They'll be the ones they're posting in all the topics. They're talking to the other people. So yeah, for sure, that social glue thing. I'm glad you brought that up, because it's very consistent. And those people are they make wonderful site moderators. From my community that I started before I came on board with Copyblogger, that's where I brought my VA. You know, I had a VA who helped me run the site. I found that person in the community. And she just got everything because she was just sort of like me with teaching sales. You know, when you bring people into your business from within the community, they get it. They understand what you do. So yeah, that's a wonderful thing. And there's even things you can do. If you have the right size community, or if it's a locally based thing, get together in person. I mean, The Well did that. The Well had every, once a month, that was called the WOP, the Well Office Party. I know that's a bizarre name, but and we would drive over to Sausalito and hang out with people on the Well. Now, there were some people in other countries or other parts of the world, but that cohesion of the face-to-face grouping was one of the things that made the Well so powerful. So if that's an option in your community, you know, do it. It's so powerful to pair the offline experience with the online experience.
Jess, I'm going to leave the last question for you, because you've been so silent during this thing so that I could talk to Sonia about a passionate subject that I care a lot about. What do you have for Sonia? What question is on your mind, Jess?
Because I know Sonia has the best stories. Mine is, what is the most cataclysmic mistake either you or an anonymous someone has made with a membership site, and what should have been done differently?
Oh, that's a good one. I'll give you the one that's funny, because that's the most fun. So my site, The Remarkable Marketing Blueprint, which was such a wonderful experience. I loved it. So I was using a third party membership plugin thing. I had no idea how it worked. I had to hire somebody to put it together for me. It was very expensive. The membership plugin was cheap. The work of getting somebody to put it together was expensive. And the security was terrible. So we had a week in which multiple times every day, Russian hackers would put porn in my member library.
Oh.
It was like so not awesome. and my members are like, I don't understand why that's in there. And I'm like, yeah, me neither. We'll get rid of it. Sorry. So honestly, I mean, I would shill for Rainmaker if I had nothing to do with this company. I would shill for Rainmaker if I had to pay money to tell people to use it, because I cannot even tell you people how hard it was to put, like, you're putting together puzzle pieces and they're not from the same puzzle. And it's like really awkward and terrible. So yeah, no, that was the most memorable. I mean, that was the memorable one. That was a great week.
Oh my. Well, Sonia, you know, I could talk literally with hours upon hours about this with you, because not only our shared history back in the BBS days, but certainly our common passion for building an online community is something that I know we can just like sit there and talk about forever. However, it's a 30-minute show, and this is the end of our time together. I can't thank you enough for coming to us all the way from Rome to be with our audience, to share your wisdom and insight. And Jessica, I'll leave you the last word in thanking Sonia.
Thank you, Sonia. You're the best.
Oh, you guys, thanks so much.
Take care, and we'll catch you next time on the next episode of Members Only.